PDF. KE8RUH from NA PDF.
Where are you off to, Greg? KFA does.
Going to Jersey Mike, so then I'm going to Wetzel. And you answered me on the wrong... I called out on the nose, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was listening on the lurker, and I don't know who... where you were, so I figure when you say mobile, I figure you'd be on FBI. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a good assumption, because normally that's what it would be. But I pulled the note out into the car for this little jaunt today. My buckboard isn't firing up. I plug it into the cigarette lighter to power my buckboard to power my clear node. And it's not coming on, so I'll have to troubleshoot that at some point. I just got the clear note plugged into a USB port in my car. Not sure how good that's going to work, but it seems to be for now.
Yeah, I might reboot at a stop or something. I don't know. That's really weird. Maybe it's the temperature or something.
Didn't think of that. I mean, literally, it's just a little power supply board with a cigarette lighter thing to power it. I don't have my meter with me. I should have grabbed that. But, yeah. And so, yeah, I plugged it all up, and then I realized my note didn't come on, so I followed it back. I'm like, wow, the little power supply didn't even come on. So, yuck. No big deal. It's running for now, and if it doesn't at all, that'd be fine. Anyway, pulling into Jersey Mike's. I'll be back shortly. KEBSI.
Alrighty, have fun. If you don't hear from me, I might have to jump on a call here really quick without notice. All right, talk to you later, KFADAS.
NAKPP.
KE8PFM. I'm not quite making it in. Very, very staticky. KE8PFM.
Okay, I just want to let you know I'm at Wetzel. decide to get out on a nice day. Talk to you when I'm a little closer. KE8 BSI.
Well, you fixed it there. Now you're coming. Oh, cool. So you at Wetzel or on your way there?
Oh, I'm here now. I've been here since 11. Ran into a bunch of technical difficulties. But doing FT4 on 10-2 right now. And doing pretty good. So a nice sunny day. Figured I'd get out here and stretch my legs a little bit. I was in the car before. I'm on an HT, so I stepped out to see if you could hear me better.
Very good. All right, cool. Well, good luck. Yeah, it would have been a good day to get out, but everything on my side has just been running late and late, and I'm just now leaving to deliver a project that I should have left for noon at. So, yeah, it's been one of those one of those days. I would have liked to have gotten out, though. All right, man, good luck. We'll talk to you later, then. KE8 TFM monitoring.
Ooh, you're on your way to something at this hour.
Yeah.
Oh, well, middle of the week, time to work. Talk to you soon, KE8 TFM.
Making it in or not. You are making it in. There's popcorn on your signal, but 100%. Where are you at? I'm on Lake George. Well, no, I'm on Orion Road and Lake George Road, so I'm going up and down these hills here. I was more curious if I was going to make it in still.
Well, you're sounding good. I know where Lake Orion is, but Lake George, not 100% sure. Put you up in that Clarkston area?
Between Rochester Hills and Lake Orion. Lake George Road, basically Adams Road and Road. So I'm like right between Lake Orion and Rochester Hills.
All right. Yeah, it gets a little... The terrain gets to be a challenge as you push out that way. So, but yeah, no problem. Doing well. Working, I take it, or going out there for a donut at the cider mill?
No, working, unfortunately. I got to go deliver a project to a customer. It should have happened in June, but I'm in a little bit late today, so, so I'm heading there now. Hopefully it'll be a fairly quick trip. I expect that to be done by today. So it should be pretty easy.
That's not bad. It's always nice to have a job that allows you to do a little like that every now and again. I don't think I'd want to go back to doing it all the time. Although I didn't mind it. I was a road technician most of my career. And so I was on the road all the time. And I liked it, but now I'm mostly in the office, but I do get to get out as needed, so it's not bad. I think if I was trapped in a cubicle all day, every day, I'd go nuts.
No, I definitely like getting out. I can only stare at the basement wall so long, and maybe I gotta get out, so it's actually kind of nice to at least get a little bit. I get out and going. Basically, got to install it on a product and then make sure everything works in front of them. So.
Oh yeah, if this is the final, you know, proof of concept and adios, that's got to feel good. Always nice to get one out from underneath or off your plate, I should say. That's very cool. I got just heading home here. Don't know what I'm going to do. Don't know what we're going to do for dinner. Don't know what I'm going to do. Tonight's kind of wide open. tomorrow I got one of those field trips tomorrow. I got some major work being done at one of my sites, and they're doing some preparatory electrical work. So I got to stop in, which is going to change my plans, because I was going to go straight out to Richmond in the morning and change the frequency on that, but now it's going to probably be either later in the day or have to postpone it another day. What's the reason for the frequency change? Is it they just assigned something different to you, or? I'm not coordinated up there. I put in for a coordination some time ago, and, you know, you just got to go through the process. And, you know, being up there, it's a lot easier than when you get down in the burbs. But until I got a coordination, Fred had one that was Shiawassee, and they had it off the air, so he wasn't worried about it. So just use that. That's what we're using now. We're using Shiawassee 625, and they take a few things into account when they're coordinating. Not only is there on frequency, how far from an on frequency, but they don't want you to be too close to an adjacent frequency. And 625 is, you know, I, first of all, know the on frequency, closest on frequency, and I've got it with their blessing. And I'm the adjacent, and I'm not going to complain. So so 625 was pretty safe for us to play with. There was no one to complain. But my actual coordination came in over the weekend, so got to get up there and reprogram the computer and tweak the duplexer. Moving 400 kilohertz, so it's not that big a deal. Yeah, very good. That's good. Right after you do the change, I can update my radio. I got all my EMR stuff updated over the weekend, but I didn't quite make it to my truck radio yet, so I'll use you changing it as the reason for not the truck radio. Yep, I'm going to have to go through all mine as well, so I don't really have any need to leave the 625 in there, so I'll just wait. But I really, really hope to have it done this week, you know, so I got the provisional coordination on, I think I got it Friday or Saturday, I forget what day it came in, and, you know, with the holiday weekend and all that, and, tomorrow, I was going to do it tomorrow. I still might, but the goal is to try to get it knocked out this week. So, but I'll let everyone know through the usual channels. All right, sounds good. Here, so I'm going to go off to them. I'm going to see my house from there. Yeah, good timing, because you found the end of the rope. That one was really bad. But I heard you were just a few miles from where you got to go. Catch you later. KATFM from WAW. Good afternoon.
What's going on?
Well, I'm going on and on and on, heading west on 16 Mile Road. So that's what's going on.
I'm heading north on Woodworth to 696 to 94 to M19 to co-worker's house to finish off the day for now. So I don't get out till 6:30 and I'm on call, so that's how that's going to go. KKK Joe.
What is 6 o'clock when it switches from regular to standby?
Yeah, that's it. Usually emergency calls start after the last man standing, which is me at 18:30. So I make that point perfectly clear when they call at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and says, oh, I need an emergency ticket. I go, call the day guy. And sometimes they don't listen, so I throw a hissy. So I'm like, these are the rules, and this is what I'm going to abide by. If you don't like it, well, you know, go pound sand.
I always hated the ones that would come in just before quitting time. Of course, everybody's got those. I don't know why that is. I think they just wait to see if it goes away or something on its own. I don't know. And then they, then it gets to be quitting. They say, well, we better call over there before they leave. So, you know, you should have called 5 hours ago.
Yeah, they did that to me on Sunday. They called in and said, hey, I have an emergency work order in Chesterfield. I'm like, all right, what's the problem? Well, they're not getting a jammer test on their alarm. I'm like, okay, that is not an emergency call. I go, it's on the fire alarm. I'm like, okay, that is an emergency call. We'll get that figured out. And Tyler was stuck. And then they did it to me yesterday. I was all the way up in Auburn Hills, had nothing else. I was in the office. And they called me up and says, we've got an emergency work order down in Madison Heights. I'm like, oh, lovely. And it's 4 o'clock. I said, no, I'll take it. Shut down there, and all it was a simple wire that somebody didn't twist and tape. They just held two wires together and put a wrap of stupid tape around it. Geez, I wonder why with it we don't get communication.
Who would have done that? The customer?
No, by the looks of the tape job, it was probably done a while ago and by an individual that's no longer with us. And I pulled the tape off, and the way they do it is just dumb. I pull it up and go, geez, the wires are barely touching each other. No twist, no nothing. So I put dolphin connectors on it and did it the right way. This morning's challenge was trying to figure out why a door wasn't activating when you forced it open at a bank. That was in downtown Lansing, so I spent 4 hours in Lansing this morning.
Got any of them secret codes for the bank vault?
Oh, this one was pretty empty. It was a beautiful bank, though. Right there in downtown Lansing, right next to the police department. Walk in there, it's got the old mezzanine on it, and they had those fake windows in the back on the sandstone walls. I went in behind there, and they got special windows that open up. You know, this bank was from the 1920s. But down in the basement was one of the vaults, and that thing was empty as my pockets.
Sounds like the one that Wally got married in a month or so ago. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exact year, but it was an old bank like that.
An antique store that's downtown Romeo, right there on the corner of Main and Old Van Dyke, or Main and 32. Town Hall Antiques. That's an old First National, I think, because PNC's across the street. Yeah, that's one nice thing about my job. I get to tour some of these really old places that are pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't have too many of those. Most of our stuff, the old stuff is not worth salvaging. About the only thing is that old building downtown Mount Clemens. That's about it. Not much else.
Old equipment in the book tower, not the hotel, but the book tower itself with the green roof on it, right there off of Washington. I have an old card reader system up there. Climb up the stairs, and that fire escape was real rickety. Thank goodness I had to go out on it. But I was all the way up on the top there in that penthouse. That was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, I've been up in the book a lot. I poked my head out, and that's as far as I got, at the very top of that peak. Had some antenna work getting done, and I peeked my head out to watch the people that were doing it, but
It gave me the heebie-jeebies, and I went back in. But yes, I quite a bit of time at the book back in the day.
A co-worker and I were up at the Comerica Tower there in downtown Detroit, off of, what is that, 4th Street? The U.S. Attorney's Office is in there, but we controlled the elevators. Went all the way up there to the 27th floor, and the door was open. It was a bright, sunny, warm day, and a co-worker goes over there and peeks out the door and goes, oh, look at that, 27th story drop. No, that's okay.
I'm sure if that building had another name, don't know if I've ever been on that one. I don't think so. I've been on the Stott building, the book, the Renaissance, McNamara, Penobscot, Fisher. So I've been on quite a few of them. Had radio equipment on pretty much all of them at one point or another. But the Renaissance was always crazy. You know, there was this, you used to have to go up, you know, you had to take the service elevator. Once you got up to the restaurant, you had to take the little service elevator to get you all the way up. And you get to this one floor, and I mean, I'm not remembering it very clearly, but there was this one door, and when you opened it, there was like a negative pressure, and the door would just rip out of your hand, and would kind of suck you, it would pull you in. And we would always tell somebody, if it was the first time up there, we'd say that, okay, this door goes right to the outside, so just, you know, just be careful, but go ahead, you know. And they would open the door, and it would pull them in, and they would just crap themselves. That was always fun.
That would be the individual that laughed. No, the only roof I've been on was the old Brewster Douglas Towers. Never did that again. Oh, no, wait. I was on top of the old First Precinct downtown, wherever that was at. Had to climb out, climb on an office window, walk across the steep roof. But there was a parapet wall, so I was good there. And sat over there. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit here while you play with the camera. That's back when they had those big, huge ones.
Don't think I ever been on that one, so. I do a couple nowadays, not too many. You know, get up to a couple. But I'm more towers than buildings nowadays. I prefer towers, or buildings, completely. You know, they're the best. But more towers than buildings. Ah, well, what you gonna do?
If it has a street ladder, I don't go up it. I've been up on top of the federal courthouse, but I've never been to the elevator shaft on top because we have a camera that actually looks down into the center of the building to watch the top of the roof down there. Why? I have no idea, but it can see quite a ways. So I've been up there. I've been on top of the FAA tower and Metro, the ground control one. You can't get in the big tower. I've been on top of the Smith Tower a couple times. I didn't realize that they'll sell units for that big.
So when you say tower, you know, when you talk about the tower at Metro, you walk up that, right? But you're not talking about, like, radio towers or things like that. What do you mean when you say tower?
The ground control building. At North Terminal, you can go up to the roof there. You can walk up a stairway and get onto the roof. And like you, we have equipment up there that connects back to the main location.
Yeah, okay. No, it's just terminology. You know, I get it. That's definitely called the tower. But, you know, I'm thinking something a little different when I say tower. But no biggie. They're both towers.
Just call that one the roof. I mean, they call it a tower because it's part of the FAA. But I totally understand what you're saying. No, you can have those little sticky things in the middle of the field. That's all you, not me. We have a camera on the radio tower over at Metro, and that's a 93-footer, and we pay people to go up there.
Oh yeah. No, I don't climb nothing. I don't do foot ladders, let alone towers. But that's a whole different kettle of fish, man, climbing towers. And I've learned monopoles are even worse.
Yeah, those are questionable. I mean, one good breeze and there you go. I just watched something on Aerial America in regards to the Freedom Tower in New York, you know, One World Trade Center. And those guys up there, they do like an 80-foot climb before they even attach. That's crazy. They're 1,700 feet in the air.
Quick comment. Okay, the clock is running. Tower climb. The Burj Khalifa in United Arab Emirates. There is a stunt woman who dressed as an Emirates stewardess and climbed that thing, and they strapped her to it. She filmed a commercial on it, on top of that thing. That has got to be the most impossible, craziest tower climb in the world, and to film a commercial from up there. It's on YouTube. Just go to Emirates Airways and type in stewardess, Burj Khalifa Tower, all that stuff. You'll find it. It's an amazing shot. No trickery at all.
Well, let me see if I got this straight. So type Mia Khalifa Tower.
Burj, B-U-R-G, Khalifa, K-A-L-I-F-A, Tower, Emirates Airways Stewardess commercial, like TV commercial.
Anyhow, how are you doing, Donald? And go ahead, Tom.
That race right up there with those individuals that climb the aerial cranes. No way, no how. I'll take an elevator up to the top, but I'm not climbing up to that thing. I don't care how much you pay me. Can't you go. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now to make sure I got it right and I'm playing it. But it's a thing that you can look at just the commercial. They also show it with a A380 Emirates jet doing some filming flying by, and they show a lot of some of the behind the scenes footage that was taken to do this as well. Pretty amazing commercial, and she's a stunt woman and she's well wired to that thing, but still. Talk about being on top of the world.
Well, not me. I can't function at height, and that's like just about any height. As soon as I get just a little ways off the ground, I lose all dexterity and motor control, and it's just, nope, not for me. Anywho, I am turning onto my street right now. I'm going to get in and find out what the evening brings. Thanks for the drive, and catch you a little later. Go ahead, Cujo, pick it up. W8FU. I'll listen out.
Well, you have yourself some fine dinner. We're having burgers, I think. Burgers and dogs, one of the two. Simple stuff. But yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up, and that's just crazy. I get skittish on an 8-foot ladder.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now again, and it's still, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff where they, you know, put this whole thing together, besides, you know, the actual shot of the commercial and everything else. The practicing and everything like that, and getting the rigging right, and her being up there, and she goes, "Hi, Mom, I'm on top of the world," and the camera pans back, and there she is on top of the highest point of the television radio sphere at the top, so... It is what it is. Gentlemen, have a good afternoon. Enjoy your dinners. W8RCY, we're clear.
73K, fellas. KJK show, still around and still driving.
NA DDF.
Hey,
CKGO.
Do you
want to
your way home now?
Yeah, about halfway there.
Heading on that one. I don't get out until 6:30, so I'm heading over to a buddy's house.
Co-workers.
See how his new build-out's doing.
Right on. Yeah, today's a 4 o'clock day, because my wife's working, so I got to get home to the kiddos. So, yeah, I'm just rolling up the 34-mile road here, and there's plenty of traffic, so inching my way home slowly but surely.
I'm so glad I don't live in Romeo anymore.
Me too, there's way too much traffic and way too many freaking people now.
Yeah, it's not too bad here at Gratiot at 27, but still, it's enough.
The good thing is, the only really point of congestion and traffic I hit is literally right there at 53 and Old Van Dyke, and then 54. Those two lights there, plenty of traffic from people coming and going, and then once I get out of there, I'm good.
Helmet, and it slows down again.
It's rare that I go through town. I usually just hop on Huff and take that over to Shoemaker, and then Shoemaker right to my house.
Oh, that's the way I go when I come up. You know, if I'm out that way, I'll take 53, land Huff, and then Huff takes me right into Burrville. Just take that down to North Avenue to Boardman and then right into town.
That is a nice thing about getting north of, like, I don't know, 30-mile road is everything, I guess even 29, kind of. Everything's just a grid, north, south, east, and west, and they all kind of connect.
And my coworker just lives, like, 5 minutes from my house. He's off of, I think he's off of Huff and Bell River. Thinking of it.
I used to hunt coyotes off of Bell River over there. What's going on, Greg? Pick it up.
Not a lot. Just got done kind of a long day at Wetzel. So I'm heading home now. And I heard you guys chatting, thought I'd jump in there. So go ahead.
Today was not really a long day.
Didn't make any difference. I dialed the power down all the way to zero, and it still gave me a problem, which makes no sense. So then I put the other antenna up, and I still had the same problem. So I think it's something else on the computer, because it has not worked. You know, I never tested it at home, and I should have. So then I got an FDA program on my iPad, so I used that and got about 50 contacts. So that was my day.
Mine was working in a 100-year-old bank trying to get a door prop to work.
I spent about 4 hours today trying to figure out how to accurately project a 25-foot banner on our 64-foot video wall with a non-typical aspect ratio. So I'm ready to go home and just go to bed. Stupid things that take way too long. But yeah, Greg, you have to let me know what you find on that. It's a little weird. I'm trying to think if I had anything. I feel like I've had that issue before, but it's been a minute since I messed with FDA, so I'm not all too sure what I may have done to fix it.
Yeah, I'll have to do a field test on the bench at home and try to replicate it and then chase it down from there. I had the usual on the Mac, the memory segment error, whatever, wouldn't boot. I had to do that plist thing. So it was 3 hours of messing around between that and the antenna and then the audio losing it and changing the power level, taking the amp in and out and all that. So it was 3 hours before I could actually operate, and then I operated for about 2.5. So I'm beat. I'll go home and play with the log maybe. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. But I got 50 contacts, so it was a success in the end.
You guys are talking all Greek to me. I'm going to have to go to Lark in the Park one day and see this stuff.
50 contacts is a solid day.
Yeah, on my way out, KZ8 told me that 10-meter FT4 was rocking, but it was many hours before I was able to try that. I think I got one or two contacts there. So I got about half of them on 20 meters, half of them on 10 meters, and then a couple on 10-meter FT4. Didn't have a microphone because I was just about to give up on the FT8. And just start doing voice, but I didn't have a microphone. I gotta find it.
So what is FT8, guys, and FT4? Is that strictly HF bands?
FT8 and FT4, digital, low signal, basically data, not only if it's packet transfer. It's all done digitally on a computer, but yes, it's usually on the UHF band. I don't know, Greg will chime in if you can do it on UHF or VHF.
Well, generally no. 6 meter to 160 meter, and I think I've heard of people doing it on VHF, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay, so it's something that I saw way back when I was in my late teens in L.A. There was a L.A. County deputy friend of mine that he hooked up a, CRT, I don't even know what, it was a monochrome, so I know that much, but he connected to the radio system there at the station, and he was talking back and forth on teletype.
That was called RTTY, R-T-T-Y. I don't think FT8 was around. It's relatively new. I mean, it's years old, but not that many. So what you're talking about, if he was actually typing, was RTTY, R-T-T-Y. And that's still around today, but not used much.
Okay, because their radio systems, before they went to the 800 megs, just before I moved back to Michigan, their frequency was 39.4, and those big whip antennas off the cars that you see on, like, chips and everything, that's what they had. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's before my time. I haven't even messed with RTTY to date, actually. Sorry if I'm noisy. I'm getting close to my house here. I'm actually going to clear out my my GS engineering package should be on my front porch, and I'm going to finally be able to finish my new antenna mount project on my truck bed. So wish me luck. I got to teach myself how to crimp PL259. I'll be clear after you guys. I'll talk to you later. NADBF.
All right, you'll have no problem with that. You've already got the skill set. You just haven't done it with that particular type of cable and connector. But, yeah, take your time, and you'll nail it. It's not that big a deal. And you might screw one up, but that's it. So good luck with that and the mount and all that. K8BSI, still venturing home, about 8 minutes out.
I'm at AK, I have fun on that one. I've done PL255, but it's been years. And I'm 10 minutes out from home, but I'm going over to a friend's house because he's got a build on in his house he wants me to check out.
All right, everybody's getting destinated around 5 o'clock. That's pretty good.
I don't get off till 6:30, and we got done over in Royal Oak probably about an hour and a half ago. He's like, we want to come check out the new part of the house. I'm like, sure. So that's from Eddie. He lives like 5 minutes up the road from me. He lives off of Bell River and Hoff, so I'm just going to shoot up there and check it out. It is a true mother-in-law suite.
Ah, very good. Well, cool. Got you close to home.
Yep, because then tomorrow I'm going to leave early. Going to jump down to Beaumont and Lenox there and donate some vampire, or donate some blood for the vampire. And then got my doctor's appointment on Thursday with the, the diabetes doctor. See how much he's going to yell at me this time around.
Good job. Oh, that's always fun. I got a dentist, or I should say an oral surgeon, on Friday for a consult. I'm going to end up with yet another implant. So I don't think it's being done Friday, but that'll be the beginning of the fun.
Luckily for me, I got all my chompers. And I think she said she saw maybe a cavity in one. First cavity ever, but she hasn't done anything with it. It's just a soft spot, so I just switch it swash like you're supposed to. And luckily, I'll hopefully hold it off for another year or so. We'll see. Not too worried about it.
Yeah, I went my first 40 years without any issues at all. No cavities, nothing ever. And then they've been falling apart ever since. So there you go.
I've been falling apart since I was, 36, I guess you could say. Actually, no. 23, 24, somewhere right around there. 2 years, or 3 years after I got married in 92, I was fighting a blood disorder. They said, well, we can't figure out what's causing it, so we're going to take your spleen. So, that's missing. 10 inches of my large intestine are missing. I had shoulder repair surgery, and I just had my neck fused like 2 months ago.
Haha, very good. Yep. Welcome to the club. Getting old, no fun, although you got some unusual stuff there. So, no, just dental work for me and a lot of it. And I did have, about 10 years ago, bypass surgery, double bypass. Other than that, I'm in good shape.
Yeah, every time I go into the doc, I say, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. I'm like, oh, let's check this out. Oh, guess what? So I did my shoulder last year from a torn rotator cuff, and then I was still having issues with numbness in two of my fingers in my right hand. So I did more therapy, more testing, found out that I had a pinched nerve root in my neck. So they're like, well, there's nothing we can do about it except fuse it. I'm like, okay, I guess we'll do that and get rid of all the arthritis. So, and then my younger sister and two sisters older than me all have degenerative disc disease, so guess what I have?
Ah, you were dealt a good hand of cards. Yeah, fun stuff there. I've got chronic bad issues here and there. I generally self take care of it or whatever, but once in a while I got to go to the chiropractor. Not that that requires surgery yet, so I don't ever really want to do that if I don't have to. So I do my best to take it easy, and then whatever it takes to make it feel better when it does get wacky.
Lots of water and geritol. yeah, my back is, I'm like you, my back is messed up and not to the point of needing surgery. I got a couple bulging discs, I had a compression fracture, two car accidents, and still moving and grooving, so I'm not worried too much about it just yet.
All right, well, good luck at the doctor tomorrow. I am nearing my destination. So thanks for the drive, and we'll talk to you next time. KEHPSI, I'll listen out.
KEHPSI, somebody say have a good evening. KEHPSI.
Camp Andy Whale.
DBF testing.
W8EAT. No copy. W8EAT monitoring.
KF8BOT. Monitoring?
Well, that makes two of us monitoring. What's going on? W8EAP.
Hey there, W8EAP. This is KF8BOT, and I am on my way over to Fenton to pick up some paint because I don't have enough chores that I need to get done.
Nope, there's always another one. So what machine are you coming in from? I'm on the Warren.
I'm on the Holley repeater right now in my mobile.
Roger, I rarely hear anybody come in off that machine. That's Fred's territory. sounding good. Rolling through Warren, Michigan right now, heading northbound.
I just left there about 3 hours ago. I was down at the armory doing an outreach. I work up at the National Cemetery up here and was doing an outreach down there for benefits along with VA from Detroit.
Roger, is it the one on 8 Mile? That's the only armory I know. Are you talking about the one by 13 Mile, the TACOM area?
I was down at TACOM today and also tomorrow, but that's a pretty impressive place. I wouldn't have minded bringing home some souvenirs, but they might have taken a little bit of issue with that.
Roger, I used to work in the computer area as a contractor back in 94, and then the next year, 95, I got a job. It's if you had a good arm, you could throw a stone from TACOM to where I work. And,
by the way, my name's Eric.
Man, there's all kinds of coincidences. Yeah, sorry about that quick unkey there. Everybody knows I'm getting off work, so I'm being blasted by text messages on my tire radio. Yeah, my name is Eric, too. That's where the EAP is my initial. That's a vanity call, obviously. But yeah, I work about a block north of TACOM, one or two blocks.
Yeah, that's a good feeling driving home. Yeah, Eric, I this Holley repeater, for the first few months, I hadn't really heard hardly anything, and now I'm hearing still getting some more traffic in the mornings and like afternoon drive home type time periods. But every now and then I'll catch somebody on it.
Roger. Well, there's usually quite a few people out here this time on the Warren repeater. It's a link system, obviously. Sometimes the links are turned off. I'd say 95% of the time the links are on. So there's a Romeo and I believe a Richmond, or if that's GMRS, I forget. But anyhow, there's one in Romeo, about 20 miles north of the Warren repeater.
Yeah, I had really good luck with the link repeater out of Flint, all over the state. I was actually talking to someone up near Traverse City a couple days ago. So that was pretty unique.
And between the link repeater, cam repeaters, and if you go to the MI8, well, I forgot the name of the website, but, you know, same people did that. We have a GMRS network as well. Goes a couple in Detroit, Mount Clemens, Flint, Bay City, Saginaw, Sheboygan. I don't know how long that's going to be linked, but and then there's All-Star, you know, it's always get into the link system on All-Star, and then it's like, geez, you know, everybody can talk.
Yeah, that's, I'm just getting into the digital nodes. I got my tech back in June and just got my general last month, so I'm still a complete newbie. But, yeah, I've been playing around with the Wires X, and that is just amazing.
Yep, digital work, I do, I have a few DMR radios. I hang out on MI5 Statewide 1. They got links all over. I think they definitely got a link up there, I believe. That's where Fred lives.
Yeah, I've been enjoying my evenings listening to a 20-meter band. That's been really entertaining the last few nights.
At my last house, I had some antennas. I live in a condo now, so I don't have any antennas. So I have a shortwave radio. I just listen. But mainly at 2-meter, 440, you know, small stuff that you can put hide in a condo. And All-Star, of course, but yeah, I do a lot of listening. I just got some wire inside the house. It's not that great. Get a lot of interference. There's something. I always got like a 15, 20-pound noise level, so it's kind of fruitless. Northville, I might put some antennas. I got a cottage up there. No, much lower noise floor.
Do you have any snow coming on down there? It's just starting right up here.
Nope. I was up in St. Helen last weekend and had a dusting, about a half inch of snow. That's about it. Been up the road about 50 miles. They got hit with about 2 feet of snow. The UP, they got like 30 inches. But no, it's nothing down here yet. Not even sure if we've got any in the forecast or not.
Well, it's trying to up here in Holley right now. Not much, but just enough to let it know that, you know, it's still around. I stopped and got gas today, and there were a couple guys with their sleds. They were taking them up north. They were pretty excited.
Yep. I'm sure they'll have some snow up in St. Helens soon enough. And I've been snowmobiling since gosh, their family's had them since 1968, if you can believe that. Like 56 years. So, don't have a trailer. I used to have a trailer. I'd trailer them up to Gaylord or Kalkaska once every few years, and then I'm like, you know what? I'll just, you know, I don't have as much time as I used to. So, if I get out snowmobiling maybe 5-6 times a year, I'm happy. You know, no need to trailer them. I mean, now if someone else has a trailer and they want to pick me up, that's fine.
Yeah, the guy I was talking to today sold his sled last year because the last couple of years they haven't had hardly any snow, and just picked up his new to him today. So he was pretty excited to get up there.
WAVAP. Well, we moved to Michigan in 1970, our family, and my dad did the same thing, sold the snowmobiles. We didn't get much snow at all, like between 70 and 73. We'd go up maybe once a year when there was snow, and we'd rent one. You know, in the mid-late 70s, the snow came back. But yeah, this no snow business is not new. Like I said, 71, 72, 73, it was very light snow in Michigan.
And then came 78.
Well, nothing can match the blizzard we had from New York State, upstate. Nothing can match the blizzard of 66 at 100 and, well, between 85 and 109 inches in 2 days, depending on what part where you're at, but that was crazy amount of snow, 8.5 feet.
I have never seen that much snow. I've seen close to it a couple times up near Michigan Tech, up in Holden Hancock area a number of years ago, but I can't even imagine that much.
Yeah, they had to plow the roads like every few hours just to keep up with it. I remember the piles of snow on the side of the road were like 12 feet tall, 13 feet tall. And yeah, I think we were having snowball fights. We had these giant mountains of snow. We built little snow forts, tunneled around in there. Didn't worry about us collapsing. We had some really cool forts, and we were having snowball fights till June. That snow melted.
Well, hey, Eric, I am at the store now, so I am going to get in and try not to freeze, but you have a very safe rest of your drive, sir, and it's been a pleasure. This is KF8BOT, and I will be 73 to go spend some money.
KF8BOT, this is WAEAP. Yeah, give me a shout tomorrow. I usually monitor the repeater there, the handheld at my work. I'm only about 2 miles, maybe 2-3 miles from the repeater by the window, so I can hear the repeater just fine, so maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow. WAEAP.